a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
You never know what's truly private anymore, that's for sure. The massive hack at Equifax makes you wonder how private companies can keep it together. But the SEC also under fire for being hacked despite warnings on security and then keeping it basically under lock and key for a long time, not telling anyone that it had happened. And in July, the Government Accountability Office issued a critical report about the security measures employed by the SEC. Nothing was done. Sean Tuma here, attorney and cybersecurity expert, to talk more about it. Sean, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
Is there any, I mean, seriously, anything we put in the computer, I mean, they leak like a sieve. It's awful. And it doesn't seem that anything that we put anywhere is safe at all. And it makes you wonder, why should we trust anybody? The government, private industry, businesses, it doesn't matter. People out there trying to hack at it 24 hours a day, and all too often they are successful. Where am I wrong?
Unfortunately, you're not, Steve. This is the new normal, and we've got quite a fight on our hands.
I don't like the new normal.
Well, most people don't, but we like the convenience. The problem is we've forgotten about the responsibility side. We've moved too fast trying to take advantage of all the good from using computers, and we neglected to secure them in the process, and now we're having to try to catch up.
Yeah, mankind has an innate ability to pursue new inventions and new technology to the ultimate end, exploiting it all the way to the end. And the problem here, as you just mentioned, we move too fast. And when you move too fast trying to exploit technology to its ultimate end, sometimes you get burned along the way.
Exactly, Steve. You know, it's a human nature problem, and that's what I tell people. They ask, when's cybersecurity going to get solved? I say, when human nature gets solved.
Yeah, you know? So all right. So what do we do? I mean, okay, the SEC, they were warned. It's the government. And let's be honest, a lot of private companies have our information. The government has more information probably than most of the private places because they collect from both sides. Is there anything we can do to protect ourselves from the government?
Not really, Steve. You know, at this point, we all have to assume that our information's been leaked out there and we have to act accordingly. And that means we have to be vigilant in monitoring our own credit, our own financial accounts, our own personal information, and just hope we can stop misdeeds from happening with it at the level where it impacts us, because it's probably all out there by now.
So everything's out there, so we might as well conduct ourselves as if we're already all out there, shouldn't we? I mean, why would we even bother to try to, do we do it just to give ourselves peace of mind, or do we do it, you know, so we can make ourselves feel better, even though we all pretty well accept the fact that there are no secrets left?
Yeah, I don't think we give up. I think we keep striving for our privacy and keep hoping for progress in this area. But I think it's the old adage of, you know, hope for the best but prepare for the worst. And that's what we should be doing, is planning and preparing as though the worst-case scenario has occurred and our information's already out there.
Well, let me ask you this. What on earth would you prepare? How would you prepare? What would you do? That there's a fair point you've made. Okay, prepare for the worst. What does that mean? That I'm going to get hacked and my bank accounts are going to get drained, or, you know, people are going to snoop around and look at my personal information, or decide whether or not the websites that I visit are appropriate or not appropriate, or the things that I write are appropriate or not appropriate, and, you know, where does it end?
It doesn't, Steve. All those things you've just mentioned are all within the realm of possibility these days. And unfortunately, I can't bring good news to that. You know, from a financial standpoint, all the advice we got in the wake of the Equifax hack is applicable. You know, monitoring your own credit, monitoring your credit reports, getting some sort of a service to help protect that and alert you when problems happen. But, you know, the things you describe, that's something I refer to as shame hacking now, how hackers seek personal information from people that has no value other than to embarrass and extort them.
And shame hacking.
They use that. Shame hacking.
Now there's an interesting term, shame hacking. All right, so you go out and you attack somebody and try to make them look bad. Well, you know, I suppose in this age of hacking, the extortion and blackmail type crimes, certainly on the rise in some areas. As a result, I think of exactly what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, hackers are brilliant. They're all they follow the advice of Sun Tzu. You know, they're always looking for new and innovative ways to adapt their techniques and find new ways to make money. And these days, they're finding a shame and bringing embarrassment to people, certainly celebrities and people, you know, CEOs and people like that. That's one angle they're using. I mean, look at the Ashley Madison data breach. There was no value in that list of customers, you know, people who were subscribing to Ashley Madison, but there was value in putting their name out there. You know, they try to exploit it, or some of these other, you know, salacious websites that have been hacked. And so, you know, we are at a position where we can't solve the whole problem. It's too big. It's the elephant. We just have to break it up and take bite by bite and do what little part we can on a daily basis.
Yeah, I don't know if this monolith, I mean, this monolith isn't going anywhere. It's giant. It gets bigger every day. The hacks come out every day, and you say we take small bites, but the fact of the matter is I'm still not sure what I would do to plan for a hack. I'm not sure how I, you know, what do I put in my suitcase to deal with that?
You know, it's almost like we all need our own digital bug out bag. You know, if all else fails, what do you do? I guess, you know, have cash in case all your accounts get frozen, you know, as a result. You know, those kind of things, I've really never thought of it in that kind of a term, but it's a possibility for any of us that at some point someone's going to access our accounts and everything's going to be frozen until we can get it resolved. And how do we deal with that? And that's something we as individuals need to start planning for. And I don't know the answers to that, but asking the questions is always the first place to start, right?
Well, we got to start somewhere because, like I said, it's almost a daily occurrence. If you looked, and what rises to the level of making the headlines now, Equifax did, of course, the SEC did. But after that, you know, I don't know what kind of level of breach it takes to make the headlines anymore after what happened to Target and other retailers and to Equifax and the government now. I mean, there's probably hacks every day that are of good size that would have been headlines 5 years ago but aren't big enough to, because people just look at it and yawn, because people are bored with it, because people have become complacent.
Well, Steve, you know, the big part of my job is guiding companies through this process as legal counsel and writing the letters and sending them out and making these disclosures. And I can tell you, you're right. A lot of breaches that I'm handling now 5 years ago would have been headlines, and now they pale in comparison to what we see. And you know, it's a lot of them. I mean, I handle probably between 30 to 50 breaches a year or incidents that may or may not be a breach. And most of them don't get this kind of attention because they have become so common.
Yeah.
And it's
it's unfortunate, you know, because people are asleep at the wheel. We have to leave it there, Sean. Thanks for the encouragement this morning. Really got me upbeat now. Sean Tuma, attorney, cybersecurity expert. Thanks. I'm just going to go ahead.
You're welcome, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you so much. More good news after the break. You're listening to the Steve Grimmer Show.